One of the beautiful things that I've been able to experience, even though I'm not married, I'm an uncle. And so my sister has three beautiful children, another on the way. They're all very young, and I've got to experience some really, really beautiful moments, especially even those of Christmas, when you come over and you get to see them as they're in such awe over all these different aspects of what we do. They're so in awe over the beauty of the tree, so in awe of the Christmas lights on the houses, so in awe of the Christmas presents that they get to receive, all the rituals, even coming to church, all these different things that they're just so in awe of these simple, basic things that we are quite used to. We see them every year, we become accustomed to them, and we lose that sense of awe and wonder that we once had when we were children. But it's so beautiful to see in the eyes of those little ones, the sparkle in their eyes, that joy in their hearts that they have over these different Christmas rituals that we have. And it's a beautiful thing. It truly is a beautiful thing. But for Christmas is also really for us as well to renew that sense of awe within us. I think we need to reclaim that. We need to reclaim in our hearts that sense of wonder and awe at the beauty of God's creation, at the beauty of His love, at the beauty of His salvation, of all of these things that God has given us and does for us on a daily basis. But we become so used to it, so used to going about our day-to-day lives. It continues on, and we're busy, and there's noise, and there's a lot going on, and things to prepare for, making sure that we have everything ready for Christmas. Got to have the baking done, got to have the cooking done, got to have the decorations done, got to do everything with the family, got to go visit these people and those people and the other people, and make sure all the preparations are done and done and done, get everything together. And then we might lose that sense of the wonder and awe of Christmas. And that only comes through really pausing, through taking a moment of silence to step out from all the busyness of our lives, to pause, to think, to ponder over those great mysteries of the world. And so I want to issue all of you a challenge. We've now finished up a lot of our, there may be some more Christmas celebrations going on today, maybe for a couple days, and keeping in mind that for Catholics, Christmas hasn't ended yet. Christmas has just begun. You know, the 12 days of Christmas? Christmas keeps going for a while, so we celebrate hard. So as you continue in this celebration of Christmas, to really take that time out, to step out, and to ponder over the mysteries of God, to ponder over the wonders that He has done. And I want to speak about one of those wonders as is most suitable for Christmas. And maybe you can take this as a reflection back and even ponder it right now if it helps you even to close your eyes at this moment and to just really let this sink in, to think about the mystery of the Incarnation. So we heard in the gospel reading from John that in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Now this is something that to our Catholic ears should ring a little bit true. We should remember something. Back all the way to the Old Testament. The very first line of the scriptures in Genesis. In the beginning. In the beginning. As we hear that story of God creating the universe over 7 days, bringing about a creation from nothing. How? By His Word. God speaks His Word into the world, into the abyss, into the nothingness, and that Word brings form from nothing. Creation began from that Word which was spoken. And that brought forth everything that we see today, this entire world, our very selves, that we are in this world because the Word was spoken into the world. This Word of God, John says, in the beginning was with God and was God. This is our first inclination of getting to know an understanding of the Trinity, of the Son, the second person of the Trinity, the Word, Jesus. He is that Word who is both with God and is God Himself. So God, spoken into the world, brings forth creation from nothing. And then, as John says, this Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now think about this. The Word which brought all other things into existence, the Word spoken that created life, that brought something out of nothing. This Word, this infinite God, the Creator of all things, makes Himself a creation, enters into the world by taking on flesh. The Word became flesh. He becomes a human being and just a little child. The author of all creation creates Himself, limits Himself as a small little baby, as a small little child. And if we think even before that, from the moment of conception, just how small God would have been, going through the process in the womb of growing, how vulnerable God made Himself. The God who is totally infinite, omnipotent, all-knowing, makes Himself most vulnerable. And He is formed in the womb, and Mary gives birth. And as a little child, when Mary would have held Jesus in her arms, she was holding the author of all creation, the one who created her. What a wonder it is. How amazing it is. Many people would have found this to be a disgusting thought. There was a lot of contention in the beginning of the church over the idea that God would actually become a human being. This is actually the problem for many of the Jewish people today, that they think offensive, even the thought that why would God become one of us? Why would He humiliate Himself so much as to be one who is infinite, so great, who created all things, and then to enter into that creation and become one of it? To become vulnerable to it? And so vulnerable even to die in this world? How could God take on such an offensive appearance? But what it shows us, what this mystery reveals to us, is the depth of the love that God has for our humanity, for our creation. God did not make garbage. His creation flows out of that love in His heart, that the ideas in His mind that He conceived of were something He thought so precious, so great, so magnificent, that He said, I have to make it real. I have to make it real. Each and every one of you were so precious in His thoughts that He said, I can't help myself but create you, but bring you into this world. And then he uplifts our souls and shows and sanctifies that much more who we are as human beings by becoming one of us. It doesn't debase God, it uplifts us. It shows our great dignity, the beauty of what it means to be a human being, that we are created for so much more, that we are made for so much more. We are made to be great. And on top of it all, when he, as we heard in that opening prayer today, when God took on our humanity so that we might share in his divinity, what a gift. What a remarkable gift from this one action of taking on flesh. God shares in our life so that we may share in his, so that we may be united in God in heaven, to be like him. That's the beauty and the dignity of what it means to be a human being. So we need to think about these things, ponder over them, sit with them, chew on them. Really consider what a gift we have been given through a baby, through a little child. How precious, how wondrous. We should be in tears weeping over that beauty in wonder and awe. Recapture that sense. Reclaim that wonder of Christmas in your hearts, of the love of a God who became one of you, who became like you, to share in your whole life, to suffer as you suffer, to live as you live, to die as we die, to give his life for us.